Welcome to the Bethany Community Church podcast for November 8, 2015. This week's sermon is titled, Running from God.
Long, long ago, there was a man named Jonah who lived a good life and always obeyed God's laws. He thought of himself as a true man of God. Jonah was a hard worker. Through his labels, he was able to buy chickens and a donkey, and a goat. One day, God spoke to Jonah. Jonah, huh? Jonah, what was that? My earring ditch? Jonah, I am the Lord of God. There is a city called Nineveh far away. It is filled with people that have become wicked lives. They have forgotten about kindness and helping others. Why are you telling me about them, God? Because I want you to go there and tell those wicked people I am going to destroy them and their city because of their wicked ways. Yes, Lord, I will go, but they won't listen. They're evil. The more Jonah thought about it, the more uneasy he became. That night, Jonah did not sleep very well. No, it'll hurt me. Nineveh is so far. They'll laugh at me. No! Jonah was denying God's plan for him. Nineveh? Those people don't even know about God. Why should they believe me? They might even try to kill me. The more Jonah thought about those wicked people, the more frightened he became. He decided to run away from God. That very night, he packed his clothes and hurried to the seaport. The next morning, he saw a ship that was getting ready to sail far across the sea. Ho, who goes there? Jonas. Sure. Please, Captain, let me come with you. I'll give you all my money for a place on your ship. Huh, looks like trouble to me. Yes, I wonder what he's running away from. Well, I guess we can find a place for you. Jonah boarded the ship and hid deep in the hold, as far away from God as he could. At last, he saw the anchor being drawn up onto the deck. At last, we're heading out to open sea. God will never find me now. I'm going to have a new life for myself. The story.
Mary Margaret's not totally accurate in all of her description of Jonah, but I thought you might enjoy her telling it more than me. Just the same. It's the 8th century B.C. in the Middle East, and there's this guy named Jonah, a prophet of God. And God tells him, I want you to go preach to Nineveh. I want you to go tell them that they must repent to avoid my judgment. And how many of you ever have you felt that you ought to do something, or you might have even felt that God is telling you to do something you did not want to do? Anybody out there besides me? We've all been there. We've all been there. When the right thing, the thing that our conscience or the thing that God or the thing that we knew that would be most loving, the thing that we knew would be most kind and loving and caring and affectionate to another group of people or a person, and we just said, no, I'm not going to do it. Can't do it. That was Jonah. Now, if you go to Life Group here, you know that we are in a series on this same subject with Andy Stanley. And we decided way back in June to do this series. And Mike, by the way, I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit today and not saying thank you for that tremendous show of appreciation a few minutes ago. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mike Seaver and Lucy and the other members of the trustee team. Thank you so much. That meant so much to me. But that doesn't count against my time. So you're not going to get out as early as usual today, I don't think. But thank you so much. And Mike described everybody well, I thought, and especially talking about Shane being an Aaron. Shane comes up with a lot of this creative stuff, and he found Mary Margaret for me, and he found this video series that we're doing, a life group, called White Flag by Andy Stanley. And how many of you saw it this week, the first lesson? How many of you thought it was good? I can't really see your hands go up very well with the lights in my eyes, but I know the life group I lead just loved it. So Andy and I are going to step on each other a little bit, and you can be pretty sure I got it from him and he didn't get stuff from me. But what we're going to do something, we have this resource that we use for life groups. It's called rightnowmedia.org, and we haven't shared it with everybody because naturally we want you to go to life group and not go, well, I watched it at home, I don't need to go to life group. But I feel that this series, after seeing it Wednesday in my own life group and even seeing it before that, I thought this is such good material that Andy is sharing and is doing such a great job. I want to make it available to the congregation. So I'm going to give you throw up the website address on the screen there. And fortunately, we don't have a low-tech option for those of you who don't like the high-tech option. So the only option you got is a high-tech, which is to go to rightnowmedia.org, and the username is office@bccma.org. The password is inside the fish. The series is White Flag. You just go to the search engine, the search, and not a Google search, but search inside of Right Now Media, and you type in the word White Flag, and you can watch the series. And I want you to do it. I want you to watch it, especially if you're not don't attend a life group. Watch this series. I believe it will really help you and really be a blessing to you. And while you're into rightnowmedia.org, watch anything you want to watch. There's all kinds of videos. It's like Netflix for Christians. Really, there's all kinds of videos that your children will enjoy. And later on, we may make a way. We're going to take this password, change this password back when the series is over. But we're thinking seriously about making this available to the congregation later. But right now, it's been strictly a tool we've used for the staff and for life group leaders. But go watch Andy Stanley. And he talks about the story of Jonah a little bit. And I thought he does a masterful job of making sure we don't get hung up on whether it all actually happened or not. Now, he also makes a good case for why this is very possible, that God could create a great fish that could swallow a man, and that this whole thing could have really happened. And many of us, probably a good majority in the room, believe it really happened. There's probably some of you who think it's just a mythical story and it didn't really happen. But think about this. First of all, we believe it's possible. I mean, if human beings can create a thing that you could live under the ocean for several months, why couldn't God? I mean, if there's a God and human beings can create a submarine, why couldn't God create one? So to some of us, it's entirely plausible. But if it's not plausible for you and you think, well, I think it's a great story, but I'm not sure it all really happened that way, don't let that keep you from hearing what God wants to say to you in the story. Because we learn from Aesop's fables and mythical stories all the time. What matters is the principles, are the principles true? Is what's being taught true? Is it true to the nature of God? Is it true to the nature of life on this planet? That when you run away from what is good and right and beautiful and loving, and you run away from that, and you run away from the wisdom of God, you find yourself in the belly of a great fish. You find yourself in a storm that you had something to do with creating that storm. And that's what this series is really about. And we're also going to touch, in a couple of weeks, we're going to touch on those storms that we don't create, but how God speaks to us inside the fish. How when we get inside that thing, we don't know, maybe we don't even know how we got there, but we know it's difficult and it's painful and it's stressful. And we want to show you that God has a very special relationship with people who are in any kind of adversity, whether they caused it or they didn't cause it. Whether their actions caused that adversity, whether some sin they committed, or it had nothing to do with the sin they committed. God has a very special relationship with us when we get in adversity and when we get in difficulty. And difficulty is just one of the greatest places to have the greatest experience with God. Don't miss it. Someone wrote a book one time called Don't Waste Your Sorrows. Don't miss it when you're inside the fish. Now today we're going to specifically talk about running from God. So we're going to today talk about how we run from God and we get to a place that's really uncomfortable. And we find ourselves inside the fish because we have run from God. We have run away from something that God really wants us to do. Have you ever experienced anything or seen anything that you just wanted to get away from? I remember when I was a kid, I think I must have been 12 or 13 years old. Because one of my favorite foods that you can't hardly get around here is okra. My mother used to fry okra. And I just love fried okra. And I saw a little dab at the grocery store that almost bought it, and it was like $5 a pound or something. Or some ridiculous price. I don't want to pay that for it. Walked away from it. And I really don't know how to fry it anyway. I tried to fry some that was frozen a few weeks ago, and it didn't work at all. It just didn't work. So, a friend of mine said, you know, there's this guy out town, he's got an okra patch, and he pays kids to come and pick okra. You're laughing, because you know that's something to get away from, picking okra. I remember going out there and picking okra all day in the hot Texas sun, itching. I mean, it just, my arms were on fire, and I think I made like $3 picking okra all day. And so if God were to say, Phil, I want you to go pick okra, I would think of a way to go somewhere else. You know, Jonah took a boat to Tarshish. Tarshish was as far as you could go in the world at that time. That's as far away from Israel as you could go. You could get a transportation to. It was a city in Spain. And so Jonah wanted to go as far away from this assignment to go tell Nineveh about God's repentance, about repentance and redemption. Andy Stanley tells a funny little story, if those of you saw it, you heard it, about, at least it's in the long version. I know a lot of the life groups watch the short version. And some of us, like my group, or we're studs in the kingdom of God. And we watch the 39-minute version. A little 19 minutes for us. I mean, we want everything. So in the 39-minute version, he tells a story about it. I think his kid was like 4 or 5 years old. And one day they had spaghetti, and he hated spaghetti. And he got mad and disappeared. And they went all over the neighborhood. They went into the woods. They were just on the verge of calling the police, and they couldn't find the little boy. And finally, they started calling the neighbors. And finally, they got a hold of one neighbor, and the neighbor said, he's over here. Said he's playing. He said something about dinner, wanting dinner. and Andy says, well, tell him that I am looking for him. And he heard a voice, a sweet little voice out of the house said, I'm not looking for him. You ever run away from God like that? One time Sherry ran away. Now Sherry ran away from home one night when we were early married. Now wait, don't get nervous. She's going to be the saint in this story. She's going to end up being the saint in the story. Not in the beginning, but in the end she's going to be the saint, and I'm not. We were newly married and living in our first house, and we didn't even have Jason at that time. And I went in and took a shower, and I get out of the shower, and I had not, the cabinet for the towels was out in the hallway where we kept our towels. And I didn't think to take a towel in there. And so I get out of the shower, and I go, hey, bring me a towel. Well, that didn't go over well. I mean, I don't know why that didn't go over well. And I started hearing stuff about my childhood and my mother's failure. to raise a mature man. And, you know, so I somehow got a towel. I don't think she brought me one. I don't remember that part of the story, if she ever brought me one or not. But anyway, she left. We had words, we had an argument, and I defended myself, and I think I probably said a few things about her family. I don't remember. And, you know, she disappeared. And I, to the life of me, I can't think of what was I thinking, or where was my brain? I was probably studying for a sermon or something, because I remember lying in bed by myself, not even thinking about her, reading my Bible. That's just so, isn't that sanctimonious? That is just, that's so embarrassing. And a little bit later, she comes in the room, and she said, "I'm sorry I left." And I, this is my chance to make it better, and I didn't. I said, "You left?" We had a, remember Big Boy Abdel's restaurant? There was one in the edge of town. She had driven, she didn't go to Tarsus, but she went to Abdel's and drank a cup of coffee, and I never knew she left. Boy, and you're surprised I'm still alive, aren't you? I remember the fight started all over again. But Jonah, inside the fish, prayed to the Lord his God. He said in chapter 2, verse 2, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me from the deep in the realm of the dead." When I thought I was going to die, because that's where my choices had taken me, I called for help, and he listened to my cry. Now, if we go back to chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, it says, going to read the text there that Mary Margaret so capably already shared with us. "The word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, 'Go to the great city of Nineveh, preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord." Now, sometimes we run from God when we think God is wrong and we are right. Now, that may sound pretty arrogant, doesn't it? But we do that. We sometimes think we are right and God is wrong. I thought I was right and God was wrong many times in my life. It's never worked out that I was right and he was wrong. But I certainly thought so. In fact, this is made clear in chapter 4, verse 1. "But to Jonah," now this is after he had gone to Nineveh. I know I'm getting ahead of myself up a little bit. But this is after he had gone and preached. And God offered love and compassion and redemption to these awful Ninevites. And look at what it says in chapter 4, verse 1. "But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong." And that was from the beginning. Jonah thought about God, I meant to say. "I believe God is very wrong," and he became very angry. See, we run from God when we think we're right, God is wrong. We run from God when we refuse to do what he wants us to do, even when we think he's right. Sometimes we think he's right, but we still don't want to do it. Let me tell you something about God. God is a joyful presence in my life. But God is not usually very fun to be with when my will is set against his. The one thing, God is loving and gracious and forgiving. There's nothing you can do he won't forgive you of. There's no sin too great for him to cover. But one thing he is resolute in his will. He's resolute in what he wants and what he desires. And he is determined to do what he's going to do. He will take detours. He will take the long way. But God's always going to come back and talk to you about that thing he talked to you the last time he talked to you. Always, always, always. God's never going to get back to you and go, oh man, that I don't really care about that anymore. When God circles back, even if it's 40 years or 50 years of you running from God, when God circles back, Outlander, you're sitting out there, and I always think about this, because I love this man, and I love his story. I love Al Landry's story. 23 years of age, left the church to run from God. 50 years later, he walks in the door of this church. And Al, let me ask you, was God saying the same thing 50 years later that he said to you 50 years before? Identical. God did not say, oh, Al, I was just kidding about all that stuff. Or I changed my mind. I don't care about that anymore. Nope. God was waiting. That's the way it is. Jonah, this is very important that we understand this. Jonah didn't run from believing in God. Jonah didn't run from wanting to work for God. Jonah was a prophet, man. That was his job. That was his career. Prophets were prestigious people in many cases and many times in Israel's history. And I think this was one of those times. Jonah wasn't trying to leave God. He didn't run away from loving God. He didn't run away. He didn't, nothing that. Jonah didn't leave the faith. He didn't turn against God's people or resign from his position as prophet. Jonah simply reasoned, God is warning something. God is offering hope, I believe, and repentance and redemption for the Ninevites, and that isn't going to work for me right now. That just isn't going to work for me. Now, there were a couple of very good reasons for this. It wasn't just that Jonah was this bad person. It wasn't that he was necessarily, a lot of people want to make him into a racist. But it wasn't so, I don't believe that Jonah was necessarily a racist who just didn't like other people and just wanted Jews to be saved or to have God. There were some really good reasons. There's two basic reasons that I believe it's very clear Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. Number one, there were political reasons. Jeroboam was the king of Israel at the time. Now, I'm not sure who the king of Nineveh was at the time. There's several guys who were kings of Nineveh or Assyria. And Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, by the way. If you go to Mosul, Iraq today, and you look, I believe it's in the easterly direction, you'll see where Nineveh was. You see the ruins of Nineveh, and it's part of the country of Syria today. So it was called Assyria then, King Jeroboam was riding high politically. He had captured the Ammonites was one group of people, the Moabites, he had taken over them, and next on his hit list was Nineveh in Assyria. He was going to take over Syria, and he was on a roll. He was 7-0 and getting ready to go 8-0, right? So prophets, if you look in the Bible, Old Testament, prophets and kings work together. And not always. But a lot of times if the king would go ask the prophet what God was saying. So their jobs were tied up, and so Jonah's job was tied up with doing King Jeroboam, wanted him to do. In fact, you'll see later, and I may mention it again, but you'll see later, when Jonah gets on the boat and they have the storm come up, and remember, he goes to sleep in the bottom of the boat. If you read the whole story, we'll get to that later, how he goes to the boat, this big storm comes up, and he goes to sleep, and they find him. And the Bible says that they already knew, when they went down to wake him up, he had already told them he was running from God. Now, what does that tell us? That tells us that Jonah wanted everybody to know that he was running from God. It tells us he wanted everybody to know that he was politically correct. You guys don't like Nineveh? I don't like Nineveh. Everybody know? Getting this bright idea of us going and offering redemption to Nineveh. I want everybody to know I'm not going to do it. That's the way we are, isn't we? Everybody knows. Everybody knows we're running from God. Everybody, you know, we develop all these things that, don't work for us. I know Pastor preached that sermon on and serving at the church, but that doesn't work for me. And Stevie G gets up there every Sunday and he talks to us about giving to the church and talking even this big word tithe. He uses this word tithe. But, you know, that doesn't work for me. That doesn't work for me. You know, I know God wants me to love my spouse, and I know he wants me to be loving and kind to them and serve them appropriately and be appropriately affectionate. I know God wants that, but sorry, that doesn't work for me. Do you got any of that doesn't work for me list in your life today? You got any of that? You got any doesn't work for me stuff? Come on. You got any doesn't work for me stuff in your life? I know God wants me to care about the company I work for, and I know he wants me to go in there tomorrow and be cheerful. I know God wants me to stop meeting the other workers in the break room and bad-mouthing the boss. I know God wants me to stop bad-mouthing and gossiping and telling stories that entertain everybody. I know God wants me to do that, but, you know, that just doesn't work for me. This doesn't work for me. I'm sorry. Sorry, God. It doesn't work for me. I know you'll be okay with that, right? Because you sent Jesus down on the cross for my sins, and I know that I'm all covered, right? So it'll be fine, right? It'll be cool. I mean, you're a loving, compassionate God. I got all these verses lined up, how you've forgiven our sins. In fact, you've forgiven them in advance. Jesus went to the cross. All my sins are forgiven in advance, so we don't really need to talk about what you want me to do. We don't really need to talk about obedience. We don't really need to talk about being in the center of your will because I am covered by the blood. Well, you're covered by the blood, all right, but you're going to spend some time in the fish. You're going to spend some time in a storm that you could avoid if you would say, "Yes, Lord, thy will be done." Another reason that he didn't want to go to Nineveh was the Ninevites were the cruelest and richest people on the face of the earth. They were the people that you love to hate. They had enriched themselves and become a powerful political force by making other people suffer. They were Olympic champions at torture. They had figured out the way to skin a person alive and keep them alive for the maximum amount of time, for the maximum amount of torture. They had also invaded Israel, and they had captured a section of Israel called Lachish and taken it away from Israel. They were the people that everyone loved to hate. No wonder Jonah said, "That doesn't work for me." And then, of course, we have the most famous of Christian phrases for that. When we get done saying, "That doesn't work for me," you know what we say? "I've prayed and I have peace about it." You're in a relationship that's all your friends are saying that relationship is a bad relationship. You shouldn't be living with that person. You shouldn't have moved in with him. And you go, "Well, I prayed about it and I have peace about it." And that's a shutdown statement. "I've prayed about it and I have peace about it." Jonah had tremendous peace. Jonah gets on the boat. They're headed to Tarshish. The Lord sends a storm. The boat is rocking. The sailors were doing everything they could, throwing things overboard, as Mary Margaret tells us. I think that's next week. She's going to tell us about that. Throwing things overboard, trying. These had to be good men. These had to be good people. You see, when you run from God, you cause good people in your life to go through storms. The good people go through storms that you are oblivious to. You don't have a clue because you're asleep, because you prayed about it and you have peace. You're in the bottom of the boat asleep. Jonah had, his conscience was fine. His conscience was fine. He had said, God, this doesn't work for me. Sorry, I know you're a good God. So I know everything's going to be fine. I will see you in a couple of years, Spain. I'm going to go take a vacation. I'm going to go minister. I feel called to Spain. God has called me to go do missionary work to the Spanish. Those people need you, don't they, Lord? He had peace. He had peace. See, here's the deal. Some of us are very comfortable to have a storm around us as long as we can avoid a storm inside of us. I said, some of us are very comfortable to have a storm around us. Our kids are going through stuff because we're not doing what the Lord is wanting us to do with our life. We're not getting our family and church the way we should. We're not plugging in to other believers and connecting the way we should. And it works for us. We're asleep, man. We're resting good at night. But our kids aren't doing so well. Our kids are connecting with friends and people that are bringing bad stuff into their lives. Our kids are connecting with people that are bad for them and hurting them and taking them down a moral path, taking them down a very sensual path instead of a very spiritual path. Our kids, our adolescents are going down a very sensual path with the friends, the music, the way the dress. They're going down a very sensual path. They're in a storm. They're in a storm. And we're doing fine. Our IRA is fine. Our retirement plan. Our career is on track. We're traveling all over the world. Life is good. But we're running from God. We're running from God. Now, why does God care? By the way, Jonah ran from God, but God ran faster and harder. He always does. And I love what Stanley said on this. And this is so important because some people, when they start preaching about disobedience and failure and all this, they preach about it like it's just final or something, like you're going to hell. No. God doesn't run after you. Listen to this. God doesn't run after you to pay you back. God runs after you to get you back. Let me say it again. God doesn't run after you to pay you back. God runs after you to get you back. There are two reasons God runs after us. One is he knows that when we run from him, we run to dangerous and lonely places. We naturally go to dangerous places when we run from God. For two reasons. One is when you run from God, you're running from wisdom. You're running from good sense. You're running from intelligent decision making. You're running from what is wise. You're running from what is best. Best for you. Best for everybody. Best for your family. Best for your community. Best for your church. And secondly, when you run from God, you don't really know where you're going. You just know you got to get away from God. So you don't carefully examine what you're running to, only what you're running from. So you will run to any. Isn't it amazing what people run to? Isn't it amazing the dark and dangerous things that people run to? Run to a relationship that is totally dangerous, a relationship with a person who's totally, totally risky for you. And totally bad for you. Run to substances and drugs and alcohol and the great escape for we men is we run to pornography. We run to that addiction to pornography. We run there because we want to get away. We want to get away from what God is calling us. We want to get away from this best thing, this wonderful thing, this wise thing. We run to dangerous places. We were talking about this in my group, and I won't say who, but one person was very honest and talked about a time when a psychologist had them put their hand on a Bible and say, "Promise me you will never do that again." And what this individual had run aside to get away from doing that high and lofty thing that God is calling to do. You know, the second reason that God comes after us is when we run from God, we're neglecting to care about people that God deeply cares about. We run from caring about people that God deeply cares about. The thing that bothered Jonah about God was he knew that God deeply cared about the Ninevites. God deeply cared about those barbaric people. God had deep compassion and deep love for them. Jonah knew what the deal was. He knew that when prophets prophesy, there's one of two responses. One is resistance. In that case, judgment comes. The other is repentance. And in that case, he knew the heart of God. See, some people think that God's a schizophrenic. Old Testament God, New Testament God. The Old Testament God, just all he did was judge people. And the New Testament God, all he can do is forgive people. That's just wrongheaded. God, there never was a time when God wasn't love. God is love. It's stated in the book of 1 John. He was love in Genesis. He was love in Exodus. He was love in Numbers and Deuteronomy. God always wanted people to come back to him. He always wanted people to repent so he could redeem them. This was always the plan of God. And God was never just a nationalist. God was never just concerned about the Jews. That's a whole other sermon, is why God focused on the Jewish nation and why he still does today to a large degree. That's a whole different sermon. But it wasn't that God didn't care about the whole. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jonah knew it. He knew enough about God to know that God was a God of love. One of the reasons you need to stop running from God is because there's somebody that God wants to love through you. There's somebody that God wants to love through you. There's somebody that God wants to care about. And while you're hanging out going to Tarshish, there's some people that are without hope because you're the only person that can bring them hope. You're the person with the assignment. And I can't do your assignment. I can preach to you on a Sunday morning. I can pastor you, but I cannot do your assignment for you. I cannot go to your Nineveh. You've got to go there and be what God wants you to be. Now, the great fish doesn't represent all trials in our life. In this case, that would be a heretical doctrine. That if you're undergoing trial, if you're undergoing some situation today, it's because you're running from God. We know that's not the case. The great fish is that very private, maybe even secret place of misery and uncomfortableness that God has put you in. That uncomfortable place that God has prepared for you to see, bring your heart back to God and cause you to listen to God. You see, I can imagine those sailors when they threw him overboard and they're getting ready to throw Jonah overboard. They did not, as far as we can tell, and I don't believe there's any evidence that they ever saw the great fish. They thought that when they threw him overboard, that Jonah was over. Now, maybe you can't swallow the idea that he was swallowed by a great fish. It's metaphorical to you. Well, so what? Let it be metaphorical to you. But when they threw him overboard, they did not see what would happen to him after he went into the ocean. So he went into the ocean, and so this was a personal encounter. Private personal encounter that Jonah had with something that God had prepared, a place that God had prepared, a sanctuary that God had prepared for Jonah to say the prayer that he needed to pray from inside the fish. The fish is that private place. The fish is whatever God is using to get you to reconsider God's wisdom over your own. It's not important whether your painful circumstance is from God or from Satan. What matters is that you know where you are in relationship to your assignment for your life. See, I want you to observe something here when in closing today. Jonah didn't pray about the fish. He prayed about, go and read it in chapter 2. Go and read about Jonah's prayer in chapter 2. And we're going to get into that more next week. Go and read about it in chapter 2. Jonah did not pray about the fish. He prayed about his relationship with God. He didn't pray, God, why is this happening to me? Why am I inside this fish? But he prayed about, he began to worship. He began to worship God. He began to worship God, and he began to talk to God about worthless idols. He began to talk to God about worthless idols. Tim Keller made the statement the other day. He said, the question is not whether you will worship. The question is what you will worship. Jonah had a worship disorder. Jonah had begun to worship his own thoughts, his own ego, his own plans. He had begun to worship his own wisdom. See, he still had a problem with this, thinking God was wrong. He had begun to worship his own wisdom, his own plans, his own emotions, and his own feelings, which led him to Tarshish. When he got in the belly of the fish, he changed his object of worship from self to God. And you read that for yourself. You will find Jonah prayed one of the greatest prayers of worship and praise that you will. Psalmist David didn't even do as good a job of writing about worship and praise and the nature of God, because Jonah got his view of God fixed in the belly of the fish. Now, Jonah did not, and this is what I want to lead you to, and we're going to pray in a minute. Jonah did not just try to make nice with God. God, I'm really sorry about all these problems that I've created for myself and others. I'm really sorry about all this pain. Just get me out of this fish so I can go on to Tarshish. He didn't just make nice with God. He changed the whole direction of his life. And he said, God, I'm done. As Andy Stanley uses the phrase, I'm raising up the white flag. I'm done running from you. That's the conclusion I want to try to bring everyone in this room here today, is that you will stop running from the things. You see, you can't separate God from the will of God. Hear me now. You can't separate God from the will of God. You say, well, I don't want to run from God. I just want to run from this thing that God wants me to do. I want to have a wonderful relationship with God, but I just don't want to do what he wants me to do. Haven't we all been there? Come on. Talk to me. We've all been there. I love God. I love to sing. I play worship music in my car all the time. Look at my iPod. It's full of worship music. I love God. But God says, I want you to serve this person. I want you to serve in this place. And, oh, no, I can't do that. I just want to love you, God. Well, God's just not, God's emotional, yes, but he's more than emotional. He's got a plan. You know what he did? You know what he's doing? He came to this world to bring his kingdom. God does not come to this world to bring warm fuzzies. The Bible says, and I'm getting ahead of myself, I'm getting to the Christmas series. God came to this world, it says the government will be on his shoulders. The government will be on his shoulders. God came to this world to bring his governance to the world. God's come to this world to bring his kingdom, and you are bringers of the kingdom of God. You're supposed to go around praying everywhere you are, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to bring the kingdom to Nineveh. I want you to bring the kingdom of peace and joy, because there's a bunch of, one thing you'll see later, there's a bunch of women and children, innocent people over there who are going to die and suffer if you don't bring the kingdom of God to them. And I want you to go bring the kingdom of God to your, one of you are supposed to be kingdom bringers to your work, to your school, to your family, to your home, to your street, to your community, to your neighborhood. Every place you go, you're supposed to be bringing the kingdom of God. And it's just a wonderful life to live, and you'll be so much happier, and you'll have so much peace, and a lot of the chaos in your life will disappear. You don't understand. A lot of the chaos in your life is because you're not focused and you're not purposed on the purpose of God. And if you get focused on the purpose of God, some of those storms will die down. I said some of those storms in your home, some of those storms in your life and your emotions will die down. The promise of God, my peace I leave with you, Jesus said. Talking about, I want the prayer partners to come right now and stand in place. And for those of you that are new to Bethany, this is our what we call response time. So it's a chance when we give you a chance to talk to God about anything, including what you just heard preached about, okay? So there's going to be people standing up here, and you can come up and you can tell them what you want to pray about. It may have something to do with a sermon. It may have nothing to do with a sermon. That's okay. You can also serve yourself communion. And a little bit later someday we're going to have people to actually help serve you communion, but we don't have that yet. So right now you got to serve yourself communion. But hear me now. Hang on with me. Talking about Nineveh and people who obey the call of God and don't run from it. There's nobody that does that better or has done that more seriously than Daryl and Sandy Blatchley, who've gone to one of the most dangerous places on the face of the earth. It's dangerous in every way. Disease, poverty, and you add to that a radical branch of Al-Qaeda. And maybe ISIS. I don't know if ISIS has taken over there or not. But radical Muslim terrorists who are always a threat, and they've killed many brutally. Now we've gotten the news this morning that they're threatening, and I don't know any details, okay? I just saw a text message someone showed me before church. They're being threatened by radicals. The dog, they poisoned and killed their dog. And from what I saw in the text, that is a kind of a precursor. They do that to, they want to get rid of the dog, and it's kind of letting you know that they're in a danger zone. So I want us just to pray for them right now. Let's pray for them. They're the opposite of Jonah. They're the opposite of Jonah. When the Lord said, go to Nineveh, they didn't take a ship to Tarshish. They went to Nineveh. And they're two of I don't even belong in the same sentence with Daryl and Sandy Blatchley in terms of any type of honor. They're just off charts, in my opinion. So we're going to pray for them. When I'm done praying for them, then you come and you pray for yourself today, all right? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for Daryl and Sandy Blatchley, these saints of the living God, your saints, your children, who have gone to a very dangerous place, a place as evil as Nineveh could have ever been. Now, God, I pray you'll put your hand of protection. We know our mortal lives are not the end for us, but it's all we can really know right now. And so we pray you'll preserve their earthly lives. We pray, God, in the name of Jesus, you'll give them victory over the situation, not only preserving Daryl and Sandy, but the people, the thousands and thousands and maybe even tens of thousands of people that are depending on them. That if they are removed, whether by death or simply by being evacuated, there's all those thousands of people who will not be served. All those thousands of people who will face maybe even an eternity without your love. We pray that you keep them there and keep them in their place and save them today. And God, I pray for the people that are in this room, the people in this room who need to stop running from you and who need to get their lives in the center of your will. Help them to do that right now. In Jesus' name, would you come and pray today? Come and receive communion.
You have been listening to the Bethany Community Church Podcast. For more information, please visit us online at bccma.org. Thank you, and God bless.